Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, now as we hear your word, fill us with your Spirit. Soften our hearts that we may delight in your presence. Sharpen our minds that we may discern your truth. Shape our wills that we may desire your ways. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first lesson today is from 2 Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 and 6 through 14. Elijah denounces Ahaziah. Listen to the word of God. After the death of Ahab, Moab rebelled against Israel. Ahaziah, the king, had fallen to the lattice in his upper chamber in Samaria and lay injured. So he sent messengers, telling them, "Go, inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this injury." But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Get up, go to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say to them, 'Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron?' Now therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not leave the bed to which you have gone, but you shall surely die." So Elijah went. The messengers returned to the king, who said to them, "Why have you returned?" They answered, "There came a man to meet us who said to us, 'Go back to the king who sent you and say to him, thus says the Lord, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore you shall not leave the bed to which you have gone, and but surely shall die.' The king said to them, 'What sort of man was he who came to meet you and told you these things?' They answered, 'A hairy man with a leather belt around his waist.' The king said, 'It is Elijah the Tishbite.' So the king sent to Elijah a captain of 50 with his 50 men. The captain went up to Elijah, who was sitting on top of the hill, and said to him, 'O man of God, the king says, come down.' But Elijah answered the captain of 50, 'If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then fire came down from heaven and consumed the captain and his 50. Again, the king sent to Elijah another captain of 50 with his 50. The second captain went up and said to Elijah, 'O man of God, this is the king's order. Come down quickly.' But Elijah answered, 'If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed the captain and his 50. Again the king sent the captain of a third 50 with his 50. So the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and entreated him, 'O man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Look, fire came down from heaven and consumed the two former captains of 50 with their 50s. But now let my life be precious in your sight.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Thank you for having a box. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. Listen again for God's word to us. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Amen. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Unusual gifts are not uncommon in our family, and so I never know what to expect, whatever the occasion. Like the 1945 Flambeau Red VAC Case tractor that my husband gave me as a gift on our first wedding anniversary. The farmer takes a wife? You betcha. This token of my husband's affection was beautiful to look at, polished to a shine and gleaming in the sun. But there was a slight problem. Larry actually expected me to get on and ride it. And so I did. Or at least I tried, with great fear and trepidation, that is. Let out the clutch, he hollered. Which, by the way, I could barely reach, being practically horizontal, but I tried with all my strength to push the pedal to the floor. But I did what I was told. I let out the clutch, not exactly slowly. The tractor gave a jolt that almost bounced me off the seat. But after several false starts, I was on my way, white knuckles and all. And now Jesus is on the move. He's finished his ministry in Galilee and has set his face toward Jerusalem, getting closer and closer to the cross. But even though Jesus has been giving the disciples hints along the way, they still don't get it. He's spoken to them in parables in the company of the Pharisees. He's warned them that he will be flogged, beaten, and nailed to the cross. He's told them that he will rise again. But no, they just don't get it. And now, he's dragging them through Samaritan country. But little do they know that this is just a test drive to see if they will end up in the ditch, because they will be rejected. And Jesus has told them to dust off their feet when they are rejected. Yes, it is a part of the divine plan, because Samaritans just happen to be on the disciple-making list that Jesus will deliver to them. But for now, they're on the rugged road to Jerusalem, traveling on rugged terrain in more ways than one. Now, going through Samaria was one of the about the most direct routes to Jerusalem. Ordinarily, in order to avoid the Samaritans, they would have chosen the crossover River Jordan, which made the trek 23 miles longer than going through Samaria. There were ill feelings between the Jews and the Samaritans, including a long-standing feud about where the holy place of worship was. The Jews claimed it was Jerusalem, the Samaritans Mount Gerizim. The Samaritans held only the Torah, that is, the first five books of the Bible, as authoritative. The Jews added the prophets and other Old Testament books as the word of the Lord. Intermarriage became an issue when the Samaritans were deported to Assyria. And when the Jews returned from exile in Babylon to rebuild their temple, the Samaritans tried to stop them. No, the Samaritans didn't want the Jews around, plain and simple. So it wasn't particularly safe for them to have chosen that path. They risked being attacked as they wandered through the countryside and plodded through the villages where no one would take them in. No place to wash their feet, no hot meal, no bed for the night. But Jesus had told them to shake the dust off their feet and leave when they were turned away. But James and John, they had another idea. They'd blown a gasket. They were steaming. Just because they'd been given the authority to heal and exorcise demons, they thought they had the right to annihilate the Samaritans. They wanted fire to come down from heaven just like Elijah had. It was not without precedence. But as for James and John, they were not Elijah, And so Jesus rebuked them. Jesus rebuked them because their mission was not to destroy, but to save. So on they went, following Jesus through Samaritan country on their way to Jerusalem. But you know, I don't think they knew what they were getting themselves into. Neither did I. No, to tell the truth, I didn't know what I was getting myself in for when I finally did take off on that tractor, grabbing onto the steering wheel for dear life. It sure looked easier than it was. My first lesson in solo driving happened in the backyard where I was doing figure eights on the lawn. And believe me, that was dangerous business. I tried not to collide with the LP tank. I tried to avoid flattening the corn in the adjacent field or the possibility of emptying the swimming pool. But somehow I managed to stay on track, white knuckles and all. But I sure was proud when my husband put the slow-moving vehicle sign on the back of my tractor. I'd graduated from my backyard obstacle course and was ready to ride on the gravel road. At least I thought I was ready. It was a lot bumpier than I thought it would be, and I felt I was going to fly off the seat when I finally dared to switch into fourth gear, which, by the way, translates as about 5 miles an hour. But now we meet up with our prospective disciples, three of them, and the question is this: do you think that they will be ready for the ride down the rugged road? Something tells me that they will be holding on to the steering wheel for dear life too, white knuckles and all. Prospective disciple number one: I will follow you wherever you go. A little too eager? You tell me. But he's fueled up and ready to jump on, despite the bumpy road and the obstacles that lie ahead. But Jesus warned him. Jesus warned him about the perils of discipleship. Don't expect a bed or a hot meal or any hospitality at all. You'll be lucky to sleep on the ground. Would he follow Jesus in the face of rejection? Or would he break down along the way? You know, it takes a lot of courage to be a disciple, to stay on the rugged road, gravel and all, even if you're afraid of landing in the ditch, deep as it may be. However, a little fear isn't a bad thing from time to time. It builds character, just what we need for the journey. Now, one of the things that I had to get used to was stopping to shift gears, and I think that this would be a good time to review that as we move on to prospective disciple number two, starting in neutral, that is. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." But this one wanted to bury his father first, and rightly so. It was one of the highest honors that a son could perform for his father. The rituals were not important only to the family of the deceased, but also for the whole community. Was it an urgent situation? We don't know. But Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their own dead," because nothing can compromise the commitment that discipleship is all about. Indeed, time for disciple number two to stop, then shift into high gear this time, because Jesus has told him to go out and proclaim the kingdom of God. But now, I'd like to invite you to consider what the word reverse means. It scares me to death. There are no mirrors on my open cab tractor, and there's no way to see that where you're going besides turning your head. And unfortunately, I still haven't mastered letting out the clutch from my horizontal position, much less turning my head to see where I'm going, with the danger, I must say, of crashing into the machine shed. Prospective disciple number three has a little problem in that. He wants to go back and say goodbye to his family. But following Jesus isn't about looking back. There are no mirrors to see what you are leaving behind. Because when you do, you can't follow the straight path of discipleship. You will crash into the worldly machine shed, which is full of sin. Guaranteed. Yes, Jesus is focused. He has set his face toward Jerusalem, accompanied by his disciples, including James and John. We've met three prospective disciples, and now it's time for us to join them on their journey. With God's help, we will stay on track. So get ready to climb on for the ride of your life, because this is what discipleship is all about, white knuckles and all. Don't be afraid to pop that holy clutch and feel the Jesus jolt as you get started down the path. You may have a false start or two, but don't worry even if you do stall. The love of God will get you going again. It's okay to have that slow-moving vehicle sign attached to your faith. You'll be stopping to shift gears from time to time as your faith grows stronger. And remember, you have received the perfect gift for any occasion, the gift of God's grace that will keep you safe no matter where the rugged road will take you. So climb on that holy seat and grasp the divine wheel, white knuckles and all. For friends, the ride has just begun. Amen.